Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and you can call us 888-302-3684 is our number. We'd love to get questions from you. That's our what drives this program, in addition to the features that I share with you each week. And I want to talk about a subject that we didn't have time to talk about last week. And, you know, I hate to promise you something and then, we get a lot of good calls and have to take the phone calls. And by the end of the show, time flies. And I haven't had a chance to address the subject at hand. And that subject is something called NASH, non-alcoholic liver disease. And there's a lot of misconceptions about this, because if you ask people about liver disease and the growing number of Americans who receive transplants, I mean, this is a big deal. There's a lot of celebrities who've had liver transplants. And so this is a big deal. And there's an article in last week's New York Times by Anahad O'Connor, "Threat Grows from Liver Illness Tied to Obesity." So some of the misconceptions are, well, that it's like the result of a hard driving lifestyle, you know, like the stars, they drink a lot of booze, rock stars, they shoot up drugs and they get hepatitis. And that is thought to be the main cause of liver failure, the need for a liver transplant in this country. Well, that's not true. The main cause of liver problems in America is simply dietary. It is not related to booze, although booze causes a terrible toll. It's not related to the virus hepatitis C, and you're constantly hearing ads for drugs for hepatitis C. It's NASH, or non-alcoholic steatohepatitis, which means fatty liver. Now, literally, there's a model in nature of NASH, and some of you may have eaten it this week. It's pâté de foie gras, which is goose liver. And how do they make that? They stuff geese with French bread. They actually feed them, you know, like those baguettes of bread. They use a plunger, literally. And it's a very cruel thing. And, you know, people who are about cruelty-free animal husbandry deplore this. Pâté de foie has been banned in some PC municipalities in the United States because of the cruel method by which it is created. But you get a fatty liver when you consume too much in the way of carbohydrates. And it's interesting. It is actually not true that you may think, well, fatty liver, well, I'll stop eating fat. I'll be okay. I'll just eat, you know, lots of low-fat food. Well, no. Eating non-processed saturated fat, which is found in organic butter, cheeses, and grass-fed meats, is not, I repeat, is not the cause of NASH. And the article in the Times emphasized that there are no drugs approved to treat this disease. They're actually working with NASH rates rising rapidly. Drug companies are racing to produce the first drug to treat it. Isn't that typical in America? This is a nutritional problem, and they're trying to reverse it with a drug. In fact, the movie Super Size Me with Morgan Spurlock, remember that movie? He actually deliberately developed NASH by eating junk food. He ate at junk food eateries all the time, like, you know, McDonald's and Burger King and yada yada. And he developed a king-size case, a super-sized case of NASH. He worked with a liver specialist, a doctor who I know here in New York, to monitor him. And he developed dangerous elevations in his liver enzymes, which were reversed when he went on a better diet. It was also associated with a tremendous amount of weight that he gained. But it didn't come from eating the burgers, even the poor quality burgers, so throwing away the buns and eating, you know, avoiding the milkshakes and the French fries and the carbohydrate-laden pies and snacks. It was about the carbs. It was simply about carbohydrates. And it's also thought that soda, which is rich in high fructose corn syrup, contributes to this problem, because fructose is particularly hard for the liver to metabolize. It's very easy for the liver to convert fruit sugar, even fruit sugar that you get from too much juice, into fat globules that infiltrate the liver and ultimately clog the liver and can cause fibrosis and ultimately cirrhosis, liver failure, and necessitate a transplant. So the prevalence of this is amazing, that the studies now show that it occurs in about 10% of children. That's new. It already occurs in 20% of adults in the United States. So one in five of you listening out there might suffer from some degree of NASH. And these days, doctors sometimes see they have minor liver abnormalities. They make a big deal out of it because they figure, well, you know, like you're older, you're a little overweight, no big deal. Sometimes they'll work it up. They'll do all the tests. They'll say, well, you don't have hepatitis. We don't need to put you on a drug for hepatitis. You don't have cancer. You don't need to have your gallbladder taken out. So you just have a fatty liver. No big deal. You know, they'll tell you to lose weight. That's about it. In this article, there's an interesting quote from a liver expert at the University of Pittsburgh. He says, a lot of times when I see a patient with fatty liver, the first thing out of their mouth is, well, is there a pill for this? And there's not. There just isn't. You have to make lifestyle changes, and that's a much more difficult pill for people to swallow. So here's some natural approaches to dealing with. I love dealing with this problem. This is a problem that is a nutritional home run and is so poorly treated in conventional medicine that conventional medicine, all it can do is diagnose it. And the approach is entirely a lifestyle and supplement approach. So you want to be on a low carbohydrate diet. You want to emphasize weight loss. Some people say, well, what about if I just fast, if I just lose all that weight rapidly? Well, actually, fasting and rapid weight loss can sometimes precipitate fatty liver. It can certainly precipitate gallstones. So maybe that's not such a great idea. You actually want to be on a clean, natural diet, which provides you with plenty of nutrients to help your liver repair itself. Things that are harmful, you want to avoid vitamins that contain iron or excess copper or vitamin A. They can be toxic to the liver under these circumstances. They can be toxic in general, but when your liver's already in trouble, you don't want to take lots of those. Nutrients that are helpful. Vitamin E. In studies, vitamin E at fairly high doses, 800 or 1,000 international units, have been shown to be helpful. We like to use the gamma tocopherol-rich form of vitamin E. Wonderful natural anti-inflammatory. Drinking coffee, whether it's caffeinated or even decaffeinated coffee to some extent, can actually protect the liver, interestingly. And that kind of goes back to the old naturopathic practice of, you ready for this? Coffee enemas, not for the faint-hearted, but actually a pretty effective treatment for detoxifying the liver. I mean, it's a controversial practice. Conventional medicine poo-poos it, but it is a great way to unload liver toxicity. Probiotics have been shown to be helpful because the toxic bacteria that accumulate in your intestinal tract can have a damaging effect on the liver. So having a clean, natural balance and a beneficial microbiome intestinally is very important for dealing with fatty liver. So probiotics may play a role. Specific nutrients that help, milk thistle can help. It's a liver detoxifier, N-acetylcysteine or NAC. Phosphatidylcholine is particularly helpful in alcoholic steatohepatitis, but can also be helpful in non-alcoholic steatohepatitis. It's a lecithin concentrate called phosphatidylcholine. TMG, which is betaine, not the betaine hydrochloride that you use for producing hydrochloric acid to digest better, but betaine at doses of even up to 3 grams per day. It comes as 500 milligram tablets or capsules, or just simply drinking beet juice. Yeah, I know beet juice has carbohydrate content, but it's rich in betaine. That's why betaine is called betaine. It's from beets, or present in beets anyway. That can be very helpful for combating NASH. So this is, you know, I'm giving you some of a basic outline of the approach that needs to be taken. You can do it to some extent on your own, or try doing it under medical supervision. This is a really prevalent problem. 20% of adults in the U.S. and a huge epidemic. They say that the current rate, about 25 million Americans will have the disease by 2025. And get this, 5 million will need new livers. And that is something that is simply going to break the back of our healthcare system. Imagine what it costs to do a liver transplant and the amount of ongoing maintenance therapy that's necessary and the complications that can occur when patients are taking immunosuppressive drugs for a lifetime to prevent organ rejection. This is a catastrophe that could easily be averted using the right kind of approach. And I'm, you know, very happy to work with patients on this type of condition, and my nutritionist is well equipped to apply the right kind of dietary suggestions. By the way, very much associated with heart disease risk and diabetes risk. They all go together as part of that overweight, overfed scenario. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System. A complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh.
Why do I use Spry? Because it works.
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
A regular dose of Intelligent Medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We invite your phone calls, 888-302-3684. We got several lines open. I guess it must be the nice weather because sometimes, you know, we start the program and it's just, boom, all the lines light up simultaneously. But there's still an opportunity for you to call us at 888-302-3684. And this week we did a great interview with Nina Teicholz. Nina has written a book entitled A Big Fat Surprise, and it is an attempt to demolish the myth of the low-fat diet. She follows in the steps of Gary Taubes, who has written books that trace the history of how we got on the wrong track recommending low-fat foods for weight loss. Well, ultimately, what's happened is we've gained weight. We've developed conditions like NASH due to excess carbohydrates. And it's a great read, and it's a great interview. You can check it out at drhoffman.com. That's where we log the podcasts that we do 3 or 4 days each week. And podcasts of this program will be available also on Monday if you go to drhoffman.com. Let's talk to Sal in New York City. How you doing, Sal? Sal, you got to turn down that radio in the background. Okay, well, let's not talk to Sal until he turns down his radio. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about an Illinois mother who has filed a lawsuit in order to prevent a school from expelling her 15-year-old son. Well, why is she trying to protect her son? Well, he was busted for trading his ADD medications to another student in exchange for bags of Cheez-Its and some additional cash. So this is something that's probably pretty prevalent, is that kids get their ADD medications, they take them to school, and then they sit around the lunchroom and they go, you have some Cheez-Its? Well, I've got some ADD medications. Let's swap. The lawsuit contends that the Illinois Mathematics and Science Academy illegally expelled the boy because the conduct he displayed during the transaction was likely a manifestation of his disability. Oh, I see. The ADD made him do it. Folks, this is a clear-cut example of discrimination against a person with a disability. I mean, why should they expel this poor young boy? He's just a victim of intolerance because his ADD made him sell his ADD medication. It's sort of a circular logic. Although the boy, quote, admitted that he received several bags of chips or Cheez-Its and or $3 payments for the ADD medication, he said the reason he made the sale was, quote, to help his fellow students do better in school. Ah, I see there was an altruistic motive behind his sale of the ADD medication. So I get it now. So they're probably going to let him off the hook. He's going to be able to go back to school and continue dispensing ADD medications to his fellow students and receiving monetary rewards and Cheez-Its and other treats in return. Let's talk to Carol. Welcome.
Hi, Doctor.
Hi, Carol.
My husband had major surgery for a terrible knee replacement, and he went back in the emergency room running a fever. They had to run some tests. One was a CAT scan, and they found nodules on the CAT scan.
Yep.
Nodules
where? Where?
In his lungs, sorry. In his lungs.
Okay.
And so one doctor said, repeat the CAT scan, when he was feeling a bit better. Another doctor said, do a PET scan. And I was looking at PET scans and seeing that there's a lot of false positives, I guess false
right.
negatives.
Well, hang on. This sounds kind of like a weird story. So he was like fine. He just went in for routine knee surgery. Like he had bad knees and he went in for knee replacement
yes.
surgery. Okay. And then, so he was fine. And then all of a sudden he developed a fever, right?
Right.
Yeah. Then they did a CAT scan of his lungs.
After three chest x-rays, then they went to CAT
scan. The x-ray showed something suspicious. So they said, something's going on in his lungs. And so let's do a CAT scan. And so what do they think he has? It boils down to two possibilities. One is that it's either, it could be cancer, but it could also be an infection in his lungs. I mean, it doesn't make sense that all of a sudden he goes in the hospital and cancer shows up when he was fine before. Maybe some kind of infection.
Well, they were looking for pneumonia. So then finding the nodules, they were afraid of cancer, I guess. I don't know whether to go to a PET scan.
So what's the question? The question is, what kind of test? Well, let me tell you about there's something called a CT PET scan, which is actually a fairly accurate way of differentiating between a nodule, which may be, anything. It could be a fungal infection. It could be a bacterial infection and the presence of cancer underlying that. So I would say, consider this is a diagnostic dilemma. He's in the hospital. They've got to figure out what's going on with him because on the one hand, treatment may be antibiotics, maybe antifungals, or maybe the problem is that coincidentally, and this is strange, he goes in for knee things. All of a sudden they discover he has cancer. That's kind of weird. I'm suspecting that maybe he developed some kind of infection in the hospital. Is it related to the knee surgery? Is it related to hospital exposure and the germs in the hospital? That's hard to assess. But, right now, follow the suggestions of the doctors in the hospital because they want to pursue it aggressively to a diagnosis, find out what's wrong, and then treat him appropriately. That's what I would do. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684. We got lots more to share with you on today's edition of Intelligent Medicine.
If you're like me, balancing my blood sugar is important to me for my health and wellness, especially as I get older. I pay attention to what I eat and try to exercise daily, but even that might not be enough. So each day I take Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance in conjunction with a healthy diet, regular exercise, and plenty of rest. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is my trusted ally for healthy weight management, overall cardiovascular health, and immune function. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is a synergistic combination of odorless kyolic aged garlic extract and herbs and nutrients shown to help maintain blood sugar levels. And it's made by our friends at Kyolic, the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement on the market for over 40 years. So join the Kyolic team. I did.
Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
drhoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and a happy solstice, because today? Today is the longest day of the year. So, it's like an opportunity to hop on a plane, go to Stonehenge, hang out with some of the sun worshipers there, because the sun is going to be perfectly lined up, and it's the longest day. All right, let's talk to Chris. Chris, welcome.
Hi, doctor. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Dr. Hoffman, I have been suffering from alopecia areata and totalis for about 10 years. I go through periods where I have my hair and I lose it again.
Right.
And I see there's a new drug that a doctor at Yale had a study that it's an arthritis drug.
Yeah.
Vengel. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Yep. Yeah, it's very interesting. But so this is a story that's in the news this week, and I think it was pitched as like new cure for baldness discovered. And this is actually a potential cure for a subtype of baldness, which is kind of rare, alopecia totalis, which is where you lose all the hair. I presume that when you lose your hair, you don't just lose, you know, the hair at the top of your head, but you lose your facial hair, you lose your eyebrows, you lose all your hair, totally. I mean, every part of your body, you become hairless, like a hairless Mexican, you know, the Mexican hairless dog, that kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah. So
no hair on, you know, use your eyelashes, your eyebrows, you know.
You got it. Okay. So, yeah, actually, this is something that has just come out, and I think it may be fast-tracked for people with your unusual condition. You know, sometimes it takes a really long time for drugs to be approved. But this is a drug that's already out there, and it's not an entirely benign drug. This is a monoclonal antibody, which is a powerful immunosuppressant that might be used for a condition like psoriasis or an autoimmune disease. And, in fact, alopecia universalis is an autoimmune disease. It's something where your body, you know, like in rheumatoid arthritis, you attack your joints. Your immune system attacks your joints. In this case, your immune system attacks the hair follicles. And it sort of comes and goes and, you know, waxes and wanes in your case. And it's a novel treatment. Yes, it was pioneered at Yale. And it was published in a medical journal. And they say it's a huge step forward in the treatment of patients with this condition. It's just one case, but they anticipate that this may be transferable to other people. Some guy who had this condition was given the medication for a different problem, and lo and behold, his hair grew back. I mean, it's kind of like the way they discovered Viagra. You know, Viagra was originally a heart drug, and it was supposed to help with people with a heart condition. And so at the end of the study, they said, well, it doesn't really work that well for the heart condition. And then the men who were on the drug during the study, they said, okay, study's over. We'll take your medication back. They said, well, where can we get some of this stuff? And they said, what do you mean? Why do you want to take this medication? Study's over. And they said, well, it's got this interesting side effect. So sometimes, side effects can be harmful or negative, but sometimes we'll discover a benign effect. The same thing happened with minoxidil, which is a blood pressure medication. Not a great blood pressure medication because it tended to grow hair. And for women to take it, it was just a disaster. They get all hairy. But now minoxidil has become a topical treatment for baldness, and it works, not that well, but it works partially to restore hair growth. But it wouldn't work at all in your case. In this case, it works directly on the immune system, turns it off so that the hair can grow back. And that might be a successful protocol for you. So I would suggest you contact Yale and see if they're going to begin clinical trials. And you might be able to line up one of those clinical trials and get a leg up on this. All right? Thanks for the call, Chris. Yeah, go ahead.
Bye.
Yeah, okay. Chris, we're done with Chris. Let's talk to Rose. Hey, Rose, welcome.
Oh, hi, Dr. Hoffman. I hate to talk about this, but...
it's okay. I'm not having lunch. It's okay. Go ahead.
10 days ago when I got up to go to the bathroom, I had what I can only call a liquid explosion.
Uh-huh. Explosive diarrhea, yeah.
But it was liquid. I never saw it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And so now, it's every day I think it will go away, and every day when I get up, I kind of have a very
strong,
very liquidy kind of evacuation.
Have you been to the doctor on this yet?
No, I haven't. It's funny. I was at my primary doctor, who just is right across the street from where I live, but I didn't think about it. I went for something else.
Right.
But I am going to go.
Yeah, so my suggestion, let me talk to the subject, is, look, this happens. Sometimes it's a matter of what we might call food poisoning. Now, food poisoning is kind of a misnomer because it is an infection. And it can be, you know, something that introduces a bacteria into your system. You know, like Montezuma's Revenge. You know, you go to a certain foreign country, you get E. coli. That's the most prevalent cause of the problem. But it could also be something more serious, like a salmonella infection, or it could be a C. difficile infection, or it could be, you know, various types of viruses, such as the viruses that are, you know, responsible for the outbreaks on cruise ships. And so mostly this stuff is self-limited. And, you know, a few days on what's called the BRAT diet, eating lightly of bananas, white rice, applesauce, and tea, preferably, you know, green tea or black tea is fine, but chamomile tea is particularly settling for the stomach. You know, you can, that's how we nurse some of our patients through this. Sometimes it's appropriate to take a probiotic. The probiotic can sometimes repopulate your intestinal tract, but sometimes it's a more serious thing. Especially if you're a little older, this can tip you into some real weakness and disability and dehydration. So suggestion is, you know, even though it's the weekend, maybe see the doctor. Yeah, just get maybe a checkout just to make sure that things are okay, make sure you're not dehydrated, make sure that you're not suffering from an infection. You know, we have to see how it pans out, because in a day or two, you might say, oh, you know, it just blew over. Or it may be something that develops into a more serious problem. It could be even a sign of something like diverticulitis, which is an infection of the out-pocketings in your intestinal tract. Yeah, that's usually accompanied by malaise and fever and, you know, tender abdomen. But, you know, those are several possibilities. I'm trying to be like an emergency room doctor here, because I can't, and without even the advantage of seeing you or touching your belly. But there's some of the, those are some of the possibilities. So I suggest you get seen, you know, just make sure that nothing serious is going on. It may just
blow
over.
Just like so frightened and don't know what to eat. So I'll
Try the BRAT diet. But, you know, look, this stuff happens. Food poisoning, exceedingly common, i.e., you know, some contaminant in food gets into you. And the BRAT stands for bananas, white rice, applesauce, and tea. And that's a diet that can be helpful. Usually give it to little brats, little kids, when they suffer from diarrhea. That's a pediatric term. But for adults, it can work really well, too. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And when we return, we'll talk about the right type of diet, the wrong type of diet for asthma. This is Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
We all know that humans need probiotics, but your dog needs probiotics too. Some dogs have chronic digestive issues just like humans. Probiotics will aid digestion and help improve overall immune health. Hi, I'm Gail Pruitt, certified nutritionist and author of the Doggone Good Cookbook. I do nutritional research for both humans and canines, focusing primarily on digestive issues. So whether your dog has chronic digestive issues or just the occasional upset, I recommend that you give your dog a daily probiotic to balance your dog's gut flora. You know, eating right and taking the right supplements are so important for your good health and for your best friends. And the best probiotics I've found is Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. So make sure the nutrients you and your dog eat are providing the maximum benefits. And always share your Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Your dog will love you for it.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
DrHoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. I promised to talk to you about diet and asthma. A new study is in. Headline, Burger Diet Boosts Kids' Asthma and Wheeze Risk. Now, that headline is a little simplistic because it's not just about don't eat burgers. What the study concluded, by the way, big study, looked at 50,000 children between the ages of 8 and 12 from 20 different countries around the world. And what they found was that eating three or more burgers a week may boost a child's risk of asthma and wheezing. Conversely, a Mediterranean diet rich in fruit, vegetables, and fish seems to stave off the risk. So you might think, well, I just will avoid giving my child burgers and the asthma will get better. Well, no, think again, because it says a heavy meat diet had no bearing on the prevalence of asthma or wheeze. So how can we reconcile those statements? Well, burger consumption could just be a proxy for other lifestyle factors, and it could also be an indicator of an overall poor diet. Because if your kid has burgers, but also has a diet high in fruits, vegetables, and some fish, it's going to help. All right? And here's a possible clue, because in a different article, they have looked at the impact of dietary fiber on asthma, and it is profound. So it's the kids who eat burgers all the time, they may be just eating burgers in fast food joints where they're not getting any vegetables, they're not having any fish, and they're not overall getting much fiber. And fiber, according to this new study, has an impact on the microbiome, on the intestinal bacteria. And these intestinal bacteria change with diet. A diet that is higher in fiber doesn't just promote more frequent regular bowel movements. That's the way it was pitched, like you're going to, you know, go to the bathroom more regularly. Okay, regularity is important, but actually you change your entire intestinal bacterial population depending on the foods you eat. And if you eat plenty of fiber, you will have a healthier microbiome and produce less toxic inflammatory substances in your gut, which may have an impact on many parts of your body, on your lungs, your heart, your brain, your skin, your joints, and so on. So, it's not just about burgers, but, kids just eat from fast food places, they might be in trouble. But burgers per se, don't feel bad about giving your asthmatic kid a burger here and there. That's not causing the problem. It's other dietary factors. All right, let's take a call from Tom. How you doing, Tom? Hello, Tom.
Dr. Hoffman?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, how are you? I'm going to have back surgery a little over a week from now.
Mm-hmm.
And not surprisingly, I was told not to take any vitamins 10 mm-hmm. days before surgery.
Right.
I am
because you know those vitamins, they could just really screw up the surgery, right? You know, all those
exactly,
vitamins.
Right.
That's what they're saying, right?
So
that routine advice, stupid advice that continues to be dispensed, you know, because it's easy. It's easy. It's like, look, some vitamins might be a problem. So why don't we eliminate all vitamins? Because just in case that, you know, since it's tough to learn about which vitamins, we're going to say stop all vitamins. So ask your question.
Well, I'm taking your, the foundation formula, the multivitamin.
Mm-hmm.
But my main question, though, has to do with after surgery.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'll speak to that.
Oil,
yeah. I'll speak to that, because we have actually a whole section on our website, an article called Supplements for Surgery. And this is a whole chapter in my most recent book, How to Talk to Your Doctor About Complementary and Alternative Medicine. There's a couple of things that you want to avoid during surgery, before surgery, maybe for a couple of weeks before surgery. You want to stop taking lots of fish oil, because fish oil can increase bleeding. Very high doses of vitamin E, above 200 international units, might increase the risk of bleeding. Certain supplements like ginkgo biloba and or even ginger, potentially, could somewhat thin the blood. That's about it. That's about it in terms of supplements that have a negative impact on surgery. Supplements that have a beneficial impact on surgery are zinc and a multivitamin that's modest in vitamin E, like foundation formula. That should be fine. Higher doses of vitamin D are important for healing after, orthopedic surgery. And, you know, after the surgery, you may want to take a specific supplement like Wobenzyme, which is a proteolytic enzyme that reduces swelling. Plastic surgeons use these types of things, and other doctors should be aware of that because it actually will hasten your healing. And make sure you take a probiotic right through the surgery, because if you're being given antibiotics, you want to restore your healthy bacteria. And it's all there in my article, Supplements for Surgery. It's at drhoffman.com. Also, it's in my book, How to Talk to Your Doctor About Complementary and Alternative Medicine. This is one of the dumbest things in medicine, that you really need supplements to do better when you are undertaking surgery. You shouldn't be deprived of them. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
drhoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you, and Gordon, welcome. Hi, Gordon.
Yes, doctor. Always a pleasure to... I'm a regular listener. Always a pleasure to listen to you, and it's really a treat to talk to you.
Thank you. I see you're from Brooklyn. Are you a hipster?
No, I live in a very prosaic neighborhood in Brooklyn,
okay.
old-fashioned neighborhood. No,
not Williamsburg or anything like that. Greenpoint.
No, I'm not paying high rents for that neighborhood there.
Got it.
I've been lifting weights for off and on for many years. I've had some health problems and some time problems, so my workouts haven't been working out continuously over that time. Mm-hmm. And now it's clear that my testosterone level, or perhaps other hormone levels, aren't optimal at this time in my life to really make good progress in weight training. So I wondered, what kind of a workout would you suggest for somebody who's perhaps beset with falling, you know, with low or falling testosterone levels?
Well, what have you considered testosterone?
I have thought of it, but I've heard some negative things about it in the popular media.
Okay, so let me just say, look, I think each man that I see, we have to do like a risk-benefit equation on testosterone. If it's, high risk, they have a serious advanced heart disease and high risk of blood clots, or if they have abnormal PSA or possibility of prostate cancer, it's not worth the risk. But testosterone is a benign substance that can be monitored. It can be given successfully. I do it quite often in my practice. And I think the press reports are overly alarmist. But to your question, what can you do? Well, you could, the type of exercise you should undertake is lighter. You should adapt to the fact that, as you get older, you can do the strength training, but do more frequent reps with light weights. After all, the object is not to make you into Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's too late for that. But just to keep you healthy, to keep your muscles strong, to prevent weight loss or sarcopenia, and to keep your circulatory system in good shape. I think, different levels of exercise are appropriate at different ages. But testosterone still, that is a reasonable thing to try. Or alternatively, something like DHEA, maca. These are more benign ways of boosting testosterone. Well, thank you very much for joining us. Please take the liberty of checking out drhoffman.com. We got lots more there. And invite you to check out our podcasts and subscribe to our newsletter. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be part of the Intelligent Medicine Project. Have a great weekend. Until next week, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman.